to get on the phone, and she says, I'm really interested in this new play you're doing called Media. And what can you tell me about it? And it took me a moment, and I said, you mean Medea? No kidding, that really happened.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast, insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
And hello, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach, as the guy just said, and thank you so much for joining us today. Today's episode, Reject Rejection. I think that this is going to be one of those podcasts where you're either going to love it or you're just going to kind of go, eh. I hope that this is one that you love, because I need to spend a little time talking to you about how the actor handles rejection. And this is that portion of the podcast where I love to just thank you. The numbers are growing every day, and I'm so grateful to you for that, for people tuning into the podcast. Our last episode, I did a shout out to all of those of you who have not shared the podcast with other friends in the business or other actors, or perhaps you're a teacher. I'd love this to be shared with your students, because it's a lot of fun for me, but more importantly, I think that there's something to be gained by listening to somebody who I think has some feelings about being an actor, so that you can feel, be, and enjoy success. So that's why I want to thank you. Please, please, please spread the word. I would love to get this podcast to a point where there's the biggest audience possible, and not only for my ego. Yeah, there's a little truth to that, but also just because I love giving back information that I wish I had had when I was in my BFA training program. It was a wonderful program at Wayne State University in Michigan. I had a really excellent time with really good professors, and so there are no regrets there. But understanding what was going on as a professional in the business took me a longer time than I think it should have. And I'm not blaming the university. I'm only just concerned that there is so much information out there that I wish would have gotten disseminated earlier, so that I could perhaps incorporate it into the work that I'm doing. Anyway, that's my long-winded thank you, and please encourage you to pass this along. And don't forget to go to castingactorscast.com. That's all one word, castingactorscast.com. And check out the website. You'll see some past episodes that you can click on. Maybe you want to listen to another one again if you got some information out of it, but you wanted to listen again. All of that stuff is available to you absolutely free of charge. I don't know, that was a weird accent that just came out just then. Sorry. So reject rejection. Now, I took a lot of psychology classes when I was in college because I thought psychology would be a really excellent foundation for acting work, and indeed it was. I had a really cool class in abnormal psychology, which really was so insightful, both for my acting and for dealing with members of my family. Sorry, I couldn't resist. That was just a low blow. If any of my family's listening, I'm just trying to be funny. Okay, so the rejection is one of those things that I need to be very specific with you about, because it's something I experienced firsthand many, many times as a young actor when I moved to New York. And even now in casting, you know, you can be rejected as a casting director. You cannot get hired because they went to another casting director who maybe had similar sensibilities. And so we, just like actors, casting directors are always, especially because we're an independent casting director, meaning we don't work for any one studio. We do theater, film, and television. And so when our reputation means that somebody gives us a call and gives us a job, we're lucky, I guess. We don't actively have to solicit for jobs. And, you know, it's been a really long and cool career. And so rejection can happen to everyone everywhere. I guess that's my point. and for the actor to feel like they are up against some kind of roadblock, or that they are up against some kind of unknown force that's keeping them from the model of success they have for themselves, that can be extremely painful. And that kind of conditioning over a long period of time can have absolutely disastrous results. I mean, there's a reason why many, many actors have and suffer from depression, for example. Many, many actors don't stay with it because they feel that since it hasn't gone, quote, their way, end quote, that it's time to move on to something else. And I can't argue against that. I can't argue against the choices that actors make for themselves. But what I can say is I think that there's a different way to looking at how an actor feels about themselves and their work that is much more productive, much more powerful, and can enhance the actor's ability to sustain a career. And that's really what I want to address today. So when you go into an audition and you're prepared for the audition and you read for the casting director and or the director or the producer, if it's a television show, it's like you feel like probably you're flipping a coin. It's either a yay, let's bring them back, or nay, they're not right. And that really reduces the whole process down to a thumbs up or thumbs down scenario, which can be quite damaging. Because let's face it, if we're doing a film project and we're looking for somebody to be a waiter in a restaurant that hands Al Pacino bacon and eggs for breakfast and says, will there be anything else? And that's the sum and total of the role that we're casting. We might get upwards of 1,000 to 1,500 submissions from agents for that one-line role because it's in a movie with Al Pacino. Crazy, right? So I don't want to talk about what are the odds of you getting that job. I'm saying that understanding the parameters of what you're going in for might help alleviate this thumbs up or thumbs down, they either like me or they don't mentality. I've also seen auditions go really, really well for a particular actor, and the actor doesn't get that particular job, and so they assume that the casting director is never going to bring them in again. As if one audition can make or break a career, and that's clearly not the case. And I often use this as an example that you are this fantastic apple. You're red, you have a beautiful, delicious taste, pun intended, and the producer is looking for an orange. So no matter how good your apple is, they still are looking for an orange. And it's up to the casting director to think that you might be that orange, but instead you're just an apple. And I don't mean to diminish your apple, but they need an orange. And so you're just an apple. And that has consequences that you feel might be devastating to you because you think as an actor, you might be malleable enough. Ooh, good word, malleable. You might be malleable enough to become that orange because that's what actors do, right? Is that they become different characters, so they should be able to play anything. Well, the reality check is no matter how good of an actor you are, you're not going to be able to play everything. You're just not. That's the truth. But you can bring to the table all the skills, all the technique, how you are physically, mentally, emotionally, all of those things that make you unique can contribute to your audition, which will then help you get the job or say, not this time, maybe next time. And so I don't know how I dealt with rejection. I mean, I acted for 20 years, and I can tell you that there was a period where I abused alcohol to kind of get through it, and that's not an excuse. I'm just saying that that's part of my story. I used to work so hard on auditions, and I realized that I was working hard in the wrong way. I was always thinking and filtering my auditions through the lens of, I hope this is what they are looking for. I hope that I'm giving them what they are seeking. And if I were a casting director, what would I want to see in that audition? And that's the filter that I used. And I think that that did me a lot of damage. I mean, I worked for 20 years, so I'm not complaining, but I am saying that my approach to the work was really through a bizarre kind of filter of how do I get them to like me? I mean, I truly felt like I was a people pleaser, that if I was just this really nice guy, that that would carry me through a lot of the auditions. And you can be a nice guy and not get the job. You can be a nice guy and also get the job. And so that filter that I used was very unhealthy for a long period of time. So I want to encourage you to take a look at the audition process as part of the job description. In other words, the job description includes interviewing for jobs, your professional interviewer for jobs, and that's what an audition is. And so the rejection factor, which will always be there, shouldn't be thought of as a rejection, but part of the actor's process. And I think embracing that concept removes the emotional connection you have between every opportunity, whether it's lost or found. And so, whatever you can do to remove the emotional impact of the audition and simply give it your best shot, simply show up and do the work based on what you have to offer and being able to walk out of the room and feel really good about your work, regardless of the outcome. Because every audition you do is a process of growth. It's an opportunity to have a new experience. And how many people in the world can really embrace that concept to have a new experience every audition? I mean, that's exciting to me. That's really unique than any other kind of employment opportunity, is to know that every audition you're meeting new people, there are new opportunities, you can make some really interesting choices. And if you've made some creative choices in the audition, so much the better. So again, it's not about rejecting rejection. It really is about embracing each new opportunity and then being able to move on. It's that emotional baggage that we bring to the table every time we audition, because we think that's contributing to our talent. And I'm here to say it's just the opposite. Removing all of that baggage and really focusing on the work and inhabiting the character and knowing that the choices you are making are going to be unique to you is the best way to feel satisfied. Now, I'm not just talking about auditions. I'm also talking about when you get the job, that the process, either it's theater rehearsal period or in, you know, you show up on the set to shoot something. You know, you've got the audition, you got the callback, and now you're showing up on the set to do the shoot. All of that work that you did in preparation of that particular role is really about showing up and doing the job. So I love the phrase, keep it simple, because sometimes we like to complicate the hell out of everything. We like to overthink things. But keeping it really simple for yourself and not let that raging debate in your head, which we all have, do any significant damage to you. You know what I'm talking about. That voice in our head that tells us that we're not good enough. What if this? What if that? I didn't work hard enough. I overworked this. That evaluation side, which actors seemed to spend an inordinate amount of time on, can be let go, being the best you can. So I guess I'm talking about refocusing where that energy goes. In a previous podcast, I talked about Pat and I going to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and really having an amazing 4 or 5 days there, where we interviewed and or auditioned pretty much the entire company with a few exceptions. We interviewed or auditioned over 60 people, all while seeing the 5 or 6 shows that we saw over that period of time. So it was a lot of work. And I was really struck by how many actors came in and had done their due diligence by finding out as much as they could about us. I was kind of impressed by that. it was really amazing, and it really separated these two types of actors. And the one actor was the one who talked to the other actors about McCorkle casting, and what have they cast, and what do they do. And those actors went on the website. They found out as much information about Pat, maybe what we're currently casting. You know, they really found out who they were auditioning for, because after all, they thought of it as a job opportunity, a job interview. Without raising the stakes and making it, you know, life and death or a big deal, they just wanted to find out and have something to talk about. And whether they even got to talking about it or not was not relevant. What was relevant is their sense of self and their security in having a conversation with us, because they knew more about us. Just as we have their resume in front of us, we know about them. We can see the roles that they played. We can see some of their special skills. We can find out about their heritage. All of that stuff is there in front of us. And then there's the other kind of actor that came in. The actor who had no idea who we were. The actor who didn't really check us out or look on the website. It also seemed like those actors didn't even talk to other actors about the work that we did. And so we literally had, and these were younger actors, and I don't mean to cast any aspersions here, but some of the younger actors, their focus is on them so much, especially in these kinds of environments like a Shakespeare Festival company that's been around for over 30 years, 50 years maybe. But it was amazing to me to see how they were so much more self-involved that they couldn't get out of themselves enough to find out or be curious enough about what we did. And I'm not saying that we needed our ego stroked. We certainly don't. But if you believe that this acting thing is a creative endeavor and that we are all artists to some degree, then wouldn't it feel better if any conversation you have with your fellow artists is a collaboration? Is an opportunity to meet someone, to grow, to share, and to experience each other in this business. And when those actors didn't come in and didn't feel or act very prepared, it was very, very clear that our interest was not as strong. I'm saying it's not that we didn't care about them. We certainly enjoyed their work, and we certainly had a nice conversation, but there's that gray area of what the actor is either receiving or sending. And the actor that is there simply to send themselves to others and not receive what we have to offer, I think that that's a closed door. And I also think that that leads to that feeling of rejection. Because if you're only self-involved with how you are being perceived in the world and not how you observe the world, then that's an insular environment that I think can really set an actor up for rejection. I hope that makes sense. I kind of got off on a little tangent there. I'm sorry about that, but I couldn't help myself. And I hope that this was perhaps useful to you, because I would really much rather have somebody benefit from the podcast in a way that they can find their growth and they can find their center and they can experience all that this business has to offer, because it truly is an exciting time to be an actor. And I think this is a great time to be an actor. And I want to encourage you in all things positive. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. Thanks again for listening to Casting Actors Cast.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.